The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
Nice, Magic Back.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
Happy New Year, ForceCast fans, and welcome to another edition of the ForceCast. I am your host, Pete. Unfortunately, not with me this week is Jason, but we will have some special guests this week, so look forward to that. This is a muted edition of the ForceCast, as, we told you we would do something a little bit different for this week, even though we wouldn't have a full show. And we're going to come through with that. This week will be an all-Ula show. Now, I'm sure everybody knows that Ula is Jabba's dancer, the green Twi'lek that stole some hearts, I'm sure, back in the day. And if you haven't seen the special edition, she reappears, and Femi Taylor, the actress that played Ula, looks just as good as she did 20 years ago. So we're going to dedicate a whole show to her, as far as we have an interview by one of our new members of the ForceCast team, Jimmy Mack. You heard a little bit from him in one of the microcasts during the holiday season, so we're excited about that. We're going to have an EU character of the week, of course, that features Ula, and some discussion with myself and our very own Jay Shepherd just about some of her EU appearances and some of the things that she has done in the Star Wars universe that you may not know about. And then we're going to wrap everything up with a little info about what you can do if you want to be an Ula collector. So hopefully everybody enjoys this. Again, it's something new that we wanted to try. Do an all-character show just one time, just to kind of bridge the gap between our year-in-review show, which hopefully you all listened to and all enjoyed. We're going to be doing some more roundtables just like that. And, of course, next week we will be back with an all-new, jam-packed episode of the ForceCast. We've got a lot to cover because there was a lot of news, even though it was the holidays, and not everybody works over the holidays, and of course, even Star Wars can take a day off for the holidays, but there's plenty of news that we need to cover, so we'll be back next week. Jason and I will be charging headforth into the new year. We've got a whole lot of new stuff in store for you, so hopefully you'll find that to be to your liking, but for now, let's go ahead and jump right in, and we'll be joined by our very own Jay Shepherd. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Pete.
Thanks very much for joining me. I appreciate your expertise that you can offer here for the All Ula character show.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm always happy to help out with one of these microcasts.
Absolutely. Now, we had talked a little bit, and what we kind of discussing was the fact that in Star Wars, more than anything that I can think of, these characters, and this is a great example of it, characters that do show up in the background and may only be on screen for just a short period of time, pop up and take a mind of their own, and they, even though they're memorable performances in the movie, they expand into the EU, they show up in, right, in figures, and all sorts of other stuff, and this has been a great example of that.
Exactly. I mean, she's she is a minor character, and I mean, people don't have people expect to find something like with Boba Fett, where, you know, he has his own books, basically.
Right.
Ula is a minor character, and, you know, there's not much that happens with her, of course, after Return of the Jedi. unless she comes back as a ghost. And
right, yeah, well, so, not really able to have the miraculous return from the dead that Boba Fett seems to have in every other issue that he's in, but
exactly. But, I mean, she does show up besides the films, I guess, both the Return of the Jedi and the Special Edition.
Played both times by Femi Taylor, by the way.
Exactly,
And she does an outstanding job of keeping herself in shape so that she can play the part over again. I'm sure she didn't do that on purpose, just to think, oh, 20 years later, I'm going to play the same part. But kudos to her for keeping herself in such fantastic shape.
Yeah, and she still is. I mean, I saw her at Celebration 3, and she still looks, you know, good enough to be able to do the special edition, I guess. But, you know, she's shown up in Tales from Jabba's Palace, which is a collection of short stories, and she's got her own story in there, but she also appears in a couple other stories as a character that passes through the main characters arc. So there's a bunch there, and I think she even has a comic book appearance in one of the tales, in one of the Star Wars Tales books, I believe.
Right, and you were telling me earlier that her big start, actually, or most of her backstory, comes out of the West End Games.
Yeah, I think
source
when,
book.
Yeah, when the EU was kind of taking off, West End Games, of course, was trying to, you know, get more information on all sorts of different characters, and it actually created names for a lot of the characters that didn't have names. Ula, I think, was named prior to West End Games getting into it. And yeah, they helped define some of the her backstory, just as, you know, brief sentences that were then probably expanded on in the Tales from Jabba's Palace and any other little things she shows up in, as well as Steve Sansweet's Star Wars Encyclopedia has a sizable enough write up for her, considering that she really has like what, two speaking lines and, you know, dies really quick in the film. She's probably got, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches worth of write-up about her. So there was a lot of stuff that was known at the time.
Right, and it, not only is it a character that only shows up briefly, but she's really just a dancer. I mean, even though it is, again, a memorable performance, you know, you see dancers all the time, and they don't always get the amount of write-up that she's gotten, and has even shown up in a couple of the video games as well. So,
yeah, well, and she's influenced so many other Twilight, well, pretty much, I would say, any other female Twilight character, either in the films or in the expanded universe. Aayla Secura pops to mind as as a strong, female Twilight, who, you know, at one point was a slave as well in the comics. And you've got Twi'leks popping up now. And besides Ula, you've also got other Twi'leks popping up, like in Lethal Alliance, the main character is a Twi'lek. So, yeah, she's... I think her performance, Femi Taylor's performance in Return of the Jedi, really set the stage for, you know, the way that race gets portrayed, you know, from now on.
Absolutely, and we can thank Femi Taylor for the fact that she has sort of that sensual movement, that alluring sense about her that it's passed on to other characters like Aayla Secura and the new Twi'leks that are showing up in the Legacy comic series. I think she's obviously really influenced that, and she's always been that, even though she was a background character, she's always been that attractive side character that kind of pulls your eye a little bit. Even though there are always strong female characters that are the leads, she kind of bridges that gap between the background and somebody that's that still catches your eye every time she pops on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and if, you know, and if she by herself can capture screen, just think what like a whole squad of green Twi'leks would do for you.
And funny you should mention that. That leads right in, obviously, to the Rose Bowl Parade, more precisely, this past weekend. The Grambling Band, which is known as the best band in the land, and for that day, Jay pointed out, the best band in the universe. They had all of their dancers in the front, dressed up like green Twi'lek dancers, just as Ula had. And I think, Jay, you mentioned that the Flag Girls were the orange and red.
Yeah,
they were. Or the orange and black.
It's kind of like, it's orange and magenta, stripy. It's based on the Aayla character from Attack of the Clones in the Outlander Club. But what I thought was kind of funny is looking at some behind-the-scenes photos of the that StarWars.com has posted about the parade and everything. I find it funny that while the dancers are wearing very similar costumes to the one that Femi wore in Return of the Jedi, they actually are wearing a lot more clothes.
Well, and probably rightly so.
Yeah.
For the family environment of the Rose Bowl Parade. But
yes.
They did a fantastic job, and it was very cool to see the whole band dressed in Imperial outfits, the Imperial officer outfits, all black, marching down the street. they were nearly as impressive as the 501st, which one can top the 501st as far as their precision and what they look like when they're in a gigantic horde like that. But
yeah, that was really impressive. And I think we might be able to post in the show notes a link to some footage of the parade for anyone that missed that section.
Absolutely. We will put a post up there, and thank you, Jay, for sending that over to me so we can put that link up for all our fans. And thank you as well for joining me to kind of discuss a little bit of ULA. And sure. Hopefully you will come back, and we will do a few more of these character-focused microcasts just to kind of expound the universe as it is with the characters that you may not know all that much about. So
yeah, we can set up our own little expounded universe.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Jay. I really appreciate it.
Right,
and talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Pete.
You know that laugh only means one thing. Jabba the Hutt, the biggest partier in the Star Wars universe. Jabba really knew how to throw down a bash with food, drink, music, and slave girls. Actress Femi Taylor portrayed the role of Ula in Return of the Jedi, one of Jabba's slave girl dancers who met her grisly demise when she refused Jabba's come-ons, and you'll remember he hit the trapdoor and dropped her down into the Rancor Pit, home of a gruesome monster. Femi appeared in both the original version and was brought back in 1996 by George Lucas for an extended scene in the Return of the Jedi Special Edition. We sat down with Femi and talked to her about her role as Ula and her participation in the only nude scene in the Star Wars saga.
How are you, Femi?
I'm good. I'm really good this morning.
Femi played Ula in Return of the Jedi. How can you sum up how that whole experience was?
Oh, gosh. It's very hard to sum up because I did it, for a start, I did it twice. I did it in 82, and then I went back in 96. But the first time I did it, it was just like every other job I did. I was just going and doing my scenes on a film set and going home like all the other actors. But when I went back to do it in 96, there was something very special about it because it became a phenomena and my character became huge. But it was a wonderful experience to do.
Something you mentioned that you've done this twice.
Yes.
And when you came back for the special edition in 96, that's when George Lucas decided to add a little more to your character.
Sure.
And unfortunately, you were being thrown to a hideous beast called the Rancor who devoured you.
Which, in a nice way.
Yeah. My favorite part of that is the scream. Is that scream yours, or was that put in post-production?
Oh, no, I think it was put in post-production. Yeah. It was, to be totally honest, it was, yeah.
Now, you're not saying that just because I might ask you to do the scream for me.
I couldn't get up that high. But, you know, the dialogue is me. When I have to do, I can't remember. I have to say my tutor, and I can't remember what it was. It's such a long time ago. That is me, but the scream, I didn't know. Oh, she screams. I love it. I can get up that high.
There's a scene in Return of the Jedi, and this goes back to the original release and everything, when Jabba pulls on your chain.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to ask me. And it slips out.
It slips out. You get to see a little more Ula.
Yeah, but the thing is, I thought they'd cut that out when they did the special edition. But they didn't. They still kept it in, so I'm a little bit miffed.
Well, I think it just shows you that Lucasfilm is still trying to please the fans.
Well, maybe I should look at it in the positive light. It's so quick anyway. I mean, I didn't even know. An ex-boyfriend told me about it, and I went, oh, really? And then I freeze frame. I'm like, oh, my God, really?
I think everyone was just so taken aback by the outfit Carrie Fisher was wearing that somehow the breast of Ula got lost.
Perhaps. I don't know.
But, you know, just for you guys listening at home, I'll tell you where to freeze frame it exactly.
Don't believe. I think everyone knows anyway. I think everybody knows.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, congratulations on all your success from Star Wars.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And I promised Femi that I wouldn't tell you that if you freeze frame your DVD of Return of the Jedi at 13 minutes and 45 seconds in, you'll see that part of Ula that I don't think George Lucas intended you to see. Whoops. All right, I let the cat out of the bag. Parents don't tell your kids, kids don't tell your parents.
Oh, idiot!
May the Force be with you, bro.
Thanks, Jimmy, for that revealing interview with Femi Taylor. And yes, folks, the puns only get worse from here. Now we're going to pop right into our EU character of the week, and I hope everyone enjoys Ula. Ula was born to a clan chieftain on Ryloth and was trained at one of the most prestigious dance schools there. She was eventually kidnapped by Bib Fortuna and Jarrus Rudd, along with another dancer, as a gift for Jabba the Hutt.
Don't talk about Jabba now.
While in Mos Eisley, en route to Jabba's palace, they ran into Luke Skywalker, who killed Rudd and freed the other dancer, but Ula, having been lied to about how wonderful palace life would be, continued to Jabba's service. Once she arrived, she quickly realized the error in judgment as Jabba became infatuated with her and chained her to his throne. She was forced to dance for Jabba and became his personal property. She fell into despair and felt the need to escape, alive or otherwise. She began to defy Jabba's requests, which displeased the crime lord. The first incident resulted in a beating from Jabba's guards that strategically left her looks intact. Later that day, she spoke briefly to C-3PO, who told her that Luke was returning and would rescue them.
At last, Master Luke's come to rescue me!
She was re-energized and performed the best dance of her life. Unfortunately, Jabba took notice as well, and beckoned her to him. She decided she could not take Jabba's advances even once more, and she refused to go to him. With Jabba, you rarely get a second chance, and this instance was no different. Enraged, he dropped her into the Rancor pit and laughed in amusement as the beast made short work of her. Her legend has lived on past her death as Dame Nita has taken to impersonating her in a hotel show in Mos Eisley. Ula appears in The One That Got Away, Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, Taster's Choice, The Tale of Jabba's Chef, A Time to Mourn, A Time to Dance, Ula's Tale, and Sleight of Hand, The Tale of Mara Jade. And that brings us to our collecting portion of the show. Of course, it is an all-Ula show, so this is an all-Ula collecting segment. And if you want to get on the Ula collecting bandwagon, the only way you can go as far as 3 3/4 go is the Kenner 1998 Ula and Salacious Crumb fan club exclusive set. Now, that set went on sale back in 98 to fan club members, May of 98 to fan club members for $12, and then non-members could jump in June of 98. And again, this was an exclusive set. It's the only offering so far that's come out with Ula. Now, there was an exclusive limited edition celebrity edition that was available in 98 that was autographed by Femi Taylor. And that was limited to 1,000 pieces. Now, interestingly enough, and this comes courtesy of our very own Dan Curto, Ula did place number 3 in Phase 1 of the Saga Legends Showdown and lost out to the Dark Trooper, which, of course, went on to win the whole thing. So there's a possibility that somewhere down the road, Hasbro may be looking to bring back Ula as a figure and give us another offering, maybe not with Salacious Crumb, or, you know, maybe for the first time on a carded issue. So who knows what's in the store for Ula as far as the 3 3/4 goes. Now, an interesting offering that's going to be due out here in February of 2007 is the Atticus Ula Cold Cast statue. Now, this is a 15-inch statue, which is going to be limited to 1,500 pieces, but it is a masterfully done replica of Femi Taylor as Ula, and is extraordinarily detailed, and the paint deco looks great on it, but it is a higher-end collectible. For those of you who are looking for something a little higher-end as far as Ula goes, it does carry the price tag of $429.99, so 430 bones to bring this home, but again, for a 15-inch cold cast statue, a pretty good price, and again, outstanding detail and outstanding work on this. So those are basically your two offerings that you have to bring Ula back to your home outside of the films themselves. Again, the Ula cold cast statue from Atticus and the fan club member exclusive Ula and Salacious Crumb. That's going to do it for our All Ula show. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we look forward to doing a few more of these character-focused microcasts in the future. Make sure to tune in next week, where Jason and I will be back with an all-new fun-filled episode of the Forcecast with all the news, collecting information, and Star Wars whatnot that you've come to enjoy. We're not going to send you out empty-handed, however. We do have one final Oola treat for you. It's a little tune called Hutt Seeks a Slave, Wear My Chain, by Alex Wilson. So see you next week, and remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. In the only known hole in the ground in which you could hear Machiribo play. There was a big slug with a heart so large that he would help the possessed for just a modest charge. And he never hunt them down and kill them unless they didn't pay.
Kill them.
Well, sometimes it gets kinda lonely on a desert world. When you sorta resemble the remains of a meal that a rancor just hurled.
Take that back.
You know it's not easy to find yourself a date when all you do is sit there and munch on live bait. Sometimes you get the longing to capture and abuse a pretty girl.
Capture.
I am just a hut trying to enslave a princess. Just a lonely guy with a tongue that leaves a stain. Well, Salacious Crumb is my only friend, and I've never ever been outside my den. But I'll never be lonely again if you'll wear my chain. Oh, I'll dress her in a metal bikini that will look just fine. And I'll make her wear a collar so everyone will know that
she's mine.
Just as long as she loves me for who I am and responds very quickly to my every demand. And if she never refuses me, I probably won't
kill her this time. Kill her. Kill her.
Like Oola. Just a lonely guy who promises not to make.
Skywalker.
I'll treat you less like my enemy if you'd only do a little dance for me. And I'll never be lonely again if you wear my chain. No, I'll never be lonely again if you wear my chain.
Or die.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.